So today's Torah portion, Nitzavim, standing. In this week's Torah scripture, we read of the covenant which the Lord made with his people Israel. So let us open Deuteronomy chapter 29, because this chapter talks about the establishment of that covenant. And let's read a few verses from Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9 and verse 11. You are standing today, all of you, before Adonai your God. So let us make pause here. They stood not before the mountain, not before Moses, not before people around them. They stood before the Lord. And now, can you imagine, when we are here, when we are praying, when we are worshiping the Lord, we are standing, not before me, not before worship team, we are standing before the Lord. Think about this idea. Everything's different when we think about it. Verse 11, each of you is to cross over into the covenant of Adonai your God that he is cutting with you today and into his oath. So covenant is there. Now it's their part to cross over into that covenant. The same here. The Lord already cut covenant with us, and now it is our part to cross over into this covenant. The Lord established an unfallen covenant, one which will last forever. And I'm so grateful to him for that. Because people sometimes betray, the circumstances of life can suddenly turn on you. What seemed reliable and unshakable yesterday, in 2019, can collapse all around you in the blink of an eye. It is possible. It is really possible. But his covenant will stay forever. Let us say together, his covenant will stay forever. Amen. It's a joyful news. If it is a news for you, it is a joyful news. Now I want to talk about a very important and at the same time not very popular topic from the Bible. And if you notice that every week we have not popular topics right now. So if you don't like, you can turn off TV. If you're here and don't like it, I don't know what to do. It is difficult. I have no answer for you. So, it is important to remember, which is directly, this topic directly related to our trust in God and his covenant. They're going together. So, let us open book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18. We will read only one verse today in this book of Proverbs, verse 18. And I would like to read a few different translations of this verse. So, one of them, the Holy Translation of King James. Yeah. Okay. Not everybody got it, but it's a good thing. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that kept the law, happy is he. It's a one translation. Another one, not so holy, but it's our translation. Tree of Life translation. I like this translation a lot. Where there is no divine vision, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who keeps Torah. So the idea, where there is no divine vision. So that is a very relevant scripture today. Very relevant. Relevant. Let us look at the meaning of a few words. And I will show the importance of this Bible verse in preserving our faith. Because this verse is really important for us to remember. Because we are going through many difficult times right now. So, I would like to see a few meanings of the words, and I will show the importance for us. So first word, let's say together, vision. Vision. Where there is no divine vision. So vision. And I would like to do it very shortly. I don't want to go into discussion about vision. I don't want to show slides about vision. It can take hours and hours and hours to go through lectures. So, but I don't want to go that. So vision is the ability to see. It's simple. Imagine and picture the future direction, a road map. Vision. Ability to see, to know. Also in Hebrew, the same word means revelation. Let's say together, revelation. So revelation is a supernatural direction, a word from God indicating a direction of movement, or a prophetic understanding of a situation or surrounding circumstances. Because when you don't know what to do, what's going on with you, revelation helps you to understand things around you. And it shows you the way where to go, direction for you. And this is the word from the Lord. This is the supernatural understanding from the Lord. So word people, people are perish, yeah? People, people group, also in the Septuagint, I like Septuagint, the ancient translation of the Tanakh into Greek, the word people is ethnos. Ethnos. People group, nationality, nation. English word ethnicity came from this word, ethnos. So the same word is used in Mark 13:8. For nation, ethnos, shall rise again, nation, ethnos. Ethnos, again, ethnos. One ethnic group against another ethnic group. And the last word in this place of scripture, cast off restraint, which translated as neglected, ignorant, dissolved, corrupted, or make it uncontrolled. This is the meaning. I mean, it's more deep meaning, but it's the simplest one. So, this is my short explanation of this place of scripture. Now, let us read all of this together. Let us combine together. So Proverbs 29 verse 18 with understanding of these words. Where there is no divine vision, without an understanding of what is going on, without a direction that comes from God, without His revelation and knowledge of the situation and surrounding circumstances, without an indication that comes directly from God, people, nationality, tribe, nations, ethnic group, cast off restraint, become uncontrollable, lost in time and space, deprived, neglected, ignorant, corrupted. Now it is more complete picture. It is very relevant place of scripture for today. This is about today. When you read this passage from the Bible in this interpretation, it becomes more understandable and applicable for today. It is a description of the madness and chaos that occur in the modern world. Look what's going on around you. This is this time. Today people are in turmoil, fighting with God and others over some idea, some kind of imaginable justice they cannot explain themselves. Just fight for something. Fight, fight, fight. It reminds me of the second psalm. Let us open Psalm number 2, verse 1 through 4, and verse 12. So Psalm 2, 1 through 4. Looks like I just turn on CNN when I read this. Or anything else, doesn't matter. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the people mutter vanity? The kings of earth set themselves up, and rulers conspire together against Adonai and against His anointed one. Let's rip their chains apart and throw their ropes off us. Verse 4, I love this verse. He who sits in heaven laughs. Adonai mocks them. And the most important, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he become angry and you perish along your way, since his wrath may flare up suddenly. Happy is everyone taking refuge in him. We are happy people. He's our refuge. This wrath around us, but we are happy people. The answer for all these struggles is so simple. In the verse 12, kiss the Son, or worship the Son, glorify him. So I have a question for us. Who is the Son? Oh yes, Yeshua, you know. His name is Yeshua. He is the Son of God. So the only one answer for all this turmoil around us, the only one answer, the only peace is in Yeshua, our Messiah. He is the answer for everything. Sometimes there is a feeling that the main task of humanity is to prove to God, think about it, is to prove to God that he does not exist. People are so angry at God. And many things that he established is wrong, and everything is conditional. There are no boundaries and rules anymore. For an example, the whole idea around gender. It's a crazy idea around gender. I mean, people try to prove to God that he's wrong or he's not existing. I have many very funny stories about that, some anecdotes I can tell you later after the service. How to prove God that he's not exist. It's a very difficult part, very difficult. Today, the education system sometimes acquires some kind of religious meaning. It is becoming a religion, one of whose task is to prove that there is no God. And you know what's going on in schools and the system, it's crazy, it's unbelievable, insane. And in this Russian and turbulent world in which we live, it is vital for us believers to preserve a vision, and understanding of where we are today, in what time we live and what will happen next, to maintain the revelation from God and his direction in our lives. It is our task, our job as believers. It's stated in the second half of this verse from the book of Parables, Proverbs 29. But blessed is the one who keeps Torah, who keeps revelation from the Lord, who keeps direction from him, who keeps the way to go with the Lord. You and I need to be and to keep blessing of the Lord, happiness, peace from God, and his joy. We need to be the source of the Lord's joy in this world, of the Lord's happiness, of the Lord's wisdom in this world. If not you, who will do that? And this is possible only if we keep his word, his vision for our lives. Of course, many loud voices teach that soon everything will be fine. Everything will return to normal. I don't remember what does it mean normal anymore. I'm just, in 2 years, I need to remember, look through pictures and think about normal. And sometimes people say we will prosper and reign in this world again in the name of Jesus Christ. But is it so? I would like to believe in it. I want to be in it, the truth of today. But how can one explain this to believers in Afghanistan, Iran, some African countries, and China? Or is there something wrong with their faith? Why are they going through such persecution? Maybe they're wrong. Why are they suffering? Did Yeshua turn his back on them to face us? Are believers in the world not experiencing hardship and trials, poverty and diseases? Yeah, we're experiencing. Today there is so much injustice, sickness, and suffering. Let's see what Yeshua tells us about the future, because we need to prepare to keep our faith and trust in God. We need to trust in God. Let's say together, trust in God. So, one of the most encouraging places from the scriptures. One of the most encouraging. Let us open Matthew 24. I don't know how about you, it's encouraging for me. When something going on in my life, I open this place of scripture and saying, praise the Lord, I'm okay. I'm not insane. I'm not strange. So, let it be encouraging for us today. Matthew 24. And I can tell you, I want to share truth with you and one secret again, secret. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a prophesying right here. I don't know times and dates. I don't know when this will happen. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. But I'm sure that it is true if the Bible says so. And we need to know this truth. So let us read from verse 3, chapter 24, book of Matthew. Encouraging place of scripture. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. I love this place, privately, because they want to hear for themselves, not for crowds around them, but for themselves. So we need to hear from the Lord for ourselves, privately, in our hearts. Then we will be okay. Then everything will be okay with us. So they came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So remember the words from the book of Proverbs, the vision, this word, vision, revelation from above. So Yeshua's disciples wanted to understand what to expect. What to expect? What signs of the future, of his second coming? How to prepare themselves and how to keep the faith. It was an important word for them. They needed it. They came to him and they told him, give us a vision, give us a direction, where to go, what to expect, how to keep our faith. And here's the encouraging part. Verse 4. Yeshua answered them, be careful that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I'm the Messiah, and will lead many astray. And you know, Messiah in Hebrew, Mashiach, literally means anointed one. Many people today are trying to become the answer to the difficulties that are taking place. And they call themselves anointed or chosen or unique or knowledgeable people because they have an answer, answers for what's going on around us. But remember that only Yeshua, the Mashiach, is the King of Kings and the only answer for you and me, only. And there are no other ways to God, only through Yeshua, the Messiah. There is no other door leading to eternal life, only Messiah Yeshua. Hold on tight to him. And especially if you are going through a difficult time, hold on tight to him, close to him. So what will happen next? Even more encouraging. Verse 6. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Looks like CNN, yeah, I think. See that you are not alarmed, for this must happen. This must happen. This must happen. You can't take this place out of the scriptures. You can try, but it's there. This must happen, but it is not yet the end. For nation, and remember, ethnos, will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes and in various places. But all these things are only the beginning of birth pains. So, this passage from the Bible does not need commentary, actually. It is obvious for us. The whole world is full of conflicts right now. It is going crazy. And remember the word ethnos, not just country will rise up against country, but ethnic group, ethnos, against ethnic group, against ethnos. You know, look around, how much division, disagreement, hatred, and impatience that the enemy is trying to sow between people today. He's trying to find everything to just put his division between us. Everything. That people will hate each other. For every reason, doesn't matter. Unfortunately, this division sometimes affects believers who called for unity in faith in God's shalom. We are called to be in unity. But in all of that, we need to remember Luke chapter 29, verse 21, verse 9, the same place of Scripture, but from Luke, Luke 21, 9. And when you hear of wars and chaos, do not be terrorized. Let us say together, do not be terrorized. So today you have choice, for one choice, to be terrorized, to be afraid, to, I don't know what to do in this case, or not to be terrorized, to trust the Lord, because all of this must happen. This is road map of the future. All these events should not cause fear and embarrassment for you. No. They are just signs of the second coming of the Messiah. And I have a question for us. Who is here? Who wants to see Messiah coming for the second time? Not everyone, but most of us. Most of us. So, not be terrorized. Not be afraid. Not be afraid. This must happen. This is part of the Scriptures. Our faith should not waver when the world is crumbling. We need to be strong in faith. So, another fascinating fact from the Bible that I would like to emphasize, and it's really struck me. First of all, I would like to share with you also one secret. Do not tell anyone. I love science, and I think that science is essential. But I believe in logical and Bible-grounded science. I don't believe in, you know, science. I think personally, my thinking, that science is a product of our thinking, and it is the result of God's gift called the human mind. God gave us ability to think about things and to explain it. This is the science. So I wonder, I have a question. If in the time of Noah, people also fought the coming flood by denying the Lord and by using so-called science, reducing CO2, what do you think? Were they trying to reduce CO2 during the time of Noah? And if so, how successful their struggle was? Were they able to stop flood from coming by reducing CO2? I don't think so. The only way to reduce problems is to come to the sun, to kiss the sun, to repent. Because the problem was during the time of Noah, not in the problems around us, but in the problems of people's hearts. They were evil. And this is why flood came. So we all know about such a theory, the probability theory. Probability. Do you know this theory, probability theory? I don't want to go there, but it's very well known. This theory provides answers to many questions and, in my opinion, directly proves the existence of God and His participation in the world. When you know this theory, probability theory, you surely it's obvious about the Lord. So I want to ask someone who knows the probability theory, but not here, maybe online or when you will go home. This is a very simple question. Please calculate the probability that from 2005 to 2025, how many years it is? Yeah. Five hurricanes hit the U.S. East Coast on August 29. Five. At the same date, August 29. Five. Katrina, Gustav, Isaac, wonderful names, Harvey, and the last one, Ida. I have a question. Do hurricanes leave on schedule? How is it possible to hit the same place five times at the same date? And if you know this theory, it's very, very unlikely. Or nature has mind, or it is more logical to assume that God wants to say something. So let us continue. Yeshua the Messiah warns us in the following verses. Verse 9. Then they will hand you over to persecution and will kill you. Encouraging, yeah? Yeah. You will be hated by all the nations because of my name. And then many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray, because lawlessness will multiply. The love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. I would like to read the book of Ephesians, because it is a prophetic vision for us that Rabbi Shaul, Apostle Paul, gives us understanding and explanation of our calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 3. This is our calling. We are called to do. Therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called, with complete humility and gentleness, with patience, putting up with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Ruach in the bond of Shalom. We are called to keep Shalom, to love each other, to live for the Lord and for each other. It is our calling. Our calling is to love each other, appreciate each other. If it is necessary, to die for each other, it is our calling. To keep God's shalom with each other, regardless of our differences. This is our calling. So, I would like to say very important things right now out of this place of Scripture. The biggest problem is not when there are wars or natural diseases, or when diseases are raging globally around the world. This is not the biggest problem. This is the only beginning of things. The biggest problem is then people who call themselves children of God, believers, lose their vision, revelation from God, closeness with God, do not understand what is happening around them, and get angry with God and brothers in faith. This is the biggest problem. When people look around and begin curse God and fall from them. The problem is when the hearts of believers grow cold and lose the ability to love God and neighbors. When the children of God betray one another because of disappointments. You know, disappointment is one of the biggest problems right now. And when people lose vision, they don't understand what's going on around, and they get angry. Lord, why? What's going on? What's happening there? Matthew 24. When you like to listen only the encouraging voices, you will be rich. You will be always. You will have horse, and you will ride on this horse everywhere as a king of kings. And then something happened to you, where you are. So, we need to understand. Often this happens because they do not understand the essence of the gospel, the good news. I would like to put this essence of the gospel in one actual sentence. One sentence. The good news that we have the forgiveness of sins and mercy of the Lord. This is very important. And when we die, we have a dwelling place in heavens with the Lord. This is very simplified good news. It's much more. The Lord wants to bless us for sure. He's healer. He wants to be with us. It is true. He's abundant of mercy, and He can change our life, everything. He has everything. But the heart of good news is forgiveness from the Lord, eternal life, peace with God. This is the essence of the good news. Everything else it's added to this heart of the good news. And the last verse 14, Matthew 24. This good news of the kingdom. Wow. We just read all this good news. Was it joyful? I mean, we just read the chapter 24. And here Yeshua is continuing with verse 14. And he's telling them, this good news. Yeah. Not everyone got it. So Yeshua considered this news, which we read just now, as a good news. Because it is news about His second coming. It is news about His faithfulness. It is news about His mercy, His forgiveness, eternal life we have with Him. Unity in the body of Messiah. This is the good news for us. Even though things will be very difficult around us. This good news of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Which means Messiah will come. So, I don't know. I hope it's encouraging for us. It is encouraging for me, truly. I don't want to put you in some state of depression right now, but it's a good thing to know what's going on around you. Because when you know what's going on around you, you can be in peace. That you can understand what's going on. You can pray. You can help. You can be strong in faith. It is our work, our task to share the message of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. And even more so, when we see the words of Yeshua that are being fulfilled in our eyes. We are blessed to live in this time. We are blessed. We have a special calling to live in this time. Everything around may fluctuate, but God's covenant with us is unshakable. And His love and mercy to us is unchanging forever. And fear of tomorrow, fear of the unknown, is one of the most potent elements in the person mentality that keeps him from living a life of faith. This is why the Lord commands us to fear only Him. Let us say, fear only the Lord. One more encouraging place of Scripture, Matthew 10:28. Very encouraging. And do not fear those who kill the body, wow, but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Who is this? The Lord. Afraid of Him. His fear is pure. Is the best way to go. Fear the Lord, your God. Instead, rather than going into the fear of man, go into the direction of the fear of God. This is good direction. So, again, I want to remind you of my theme of this message. The essential idea for today. Our relationship with God and our victory over life circumstances and fears rest on the covenant that the Lord made with us through Yeshua, through His death and resurrection. Amen. And it also means that no matter what happens to us, when we follow the Lord, we know that we have nothing to fear because this covenant of the Lord is with us. Amen. So let us stand together, and I would like to invite Ina to come participate me in this prayer. And I hope I bring encouragement, not discouragement. And if you feel some discouragement, it's okay. It's okay. It's a change of your vision. It's okay. Find the Lord. Find Him. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. So let us pray Aaron's blessing together. Yevrecha Adonai veishmarecha. Yer Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Issa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. And see you tomorrow. Shabbat shalom.